Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios of Teeing It Up, plus on the road with Sets and Football, this is Teeing It Up presents the Sunday Sprint. Luke Morrow, Jeremy Schilling with you on this week. What is this, Luke? Week 5 in the NFL? Time flies.
Sure is. Fine.
Yeah, the quarter poll has passed. In National Football League, we welcome you inside for this preview. And Luke, we talk about it a lot, but there are gut check times for football teams. And I want to dive right into the Jets because no Revis, most likely, no Decker, maybe no Quincy Enunwa. This Jet team is unraveling at the core. This is why I was so pessimistic, and the Jets are one of these teams that have a gut check moment over these next 3-4 weeks. You basically got to sweep it and try to get yourself back to 500 if you want any shot.
Yeah, I understand it now. And it's, for me, right now, it's tough to trust these Jets, especially with the way Fitzpatrick has been playing the last couple of weeks, and we know how important the quarterback position is. And you take on a Steelers team that was angered in that onslaught by the Eagles, and then looked as good as new and even better last week against the Chiefs. So, I mean, despite that game against the Eagles, I like this Steelers team a lot. Just with the way the Jets are playing right now, you know, I don't think I can trust them. The Jets for the past few years, I mean, you guys have been able to hang your hats on the defense, and even right now, you know, that secondary I'm worried about going against Big Ben.
Absolutely. I mean, look, maybe it'll be a benefit not to have Revis back there just because he hasn't been 100% so far this year. It's been yet to be seen what kind of outcome this will present with Mr. Revis not there, but you can't escape the truth, which is that Fitz has been awful. The running game's been inconsistent. The passing game's been really inconsistent. And if they leave themselves with just Brandon Marshall as a target, it's not pretty.
Well, and Marshall has not, and he's even admitted it this past week, but he has not played as well as he could or should. He's been off a little bit too. At what point, if you're the Jets, do you consider making some sort of move at the quarterback position, if ever?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I have not thought about that. I think that because of the reduction in weapons, that's part of it, and you have to take some of that into consideration. But look, if we keep getting these fourth quarter interceptions from Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's going to be the only option. And I bet that it won't be to Geno. I bet it'll be to Petty or Hackenberg just to see what the future holds. Because if the season is lost at that point, that's your only other option, is to try to look and salvage and figure out what's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And, you know, I'm still a Fitzpatrick fan. Maybe jumping the gun here after two, albeit miserable weeks, but you have to give your team the best chance to win week in and week out. And right now, Fitz isn't doing that, unfortunately, and he's going to have a tough task to keep up with the Steelers.
And this game's on the road. If this game was home, I'd give them a fighting chance, but the game's on the road, and I just give them no shot whatsoever to pull this off at home. Tom Brady returns against the Browns. Is this game 51-0, 42-0, or 31-0?
Yeah, it's going to be one of those. Maybe even towards 51-0. I would like to think that the Browns can somehow keep it close with Brady's first game back. Maybe he has a little rust to work off. The Browns, even though they're winless, they've been playing tough week in and week out. You know, they're at home, but I mean, you know, Brady coming back, I'm sure he'll be playing angry this year after, you know, what has occurred, and even though it was rightfully so, in my opinion. The Patriots will be excited to get him back. The Patriots are one of the best teams in the league. The Browns are one of the worst, so it should be ugly.
Now, I saw some stat from ESPN Stats and Info that said that the Browns have actually hung with the Patriots fairly tough over the years in the Belichick-Brady era, but I just think that's irrelevant. I think this is a really special situation where I think we're going to get just an onslaught of Brady, and I think if you're the Browns, you got to try to hit him early and see if his body is in shape and see if he bounces back well, because every quarterback talks about it. That first hit of the season, that first hit after an injury, you know, you kind of want that and just want to make sure that your body bounces back okay. Brady hasn't gotten hit. You know, he's been working out with Wes Welker and his wife. You're not getting hit doing that.
No, and he's obviously a welcome addition to this Patriots team. I mean, you always talk, you hear about the system for the Patriots. They can plug anyone in. Garoppolo played excellent. Brissett played well enough. But this offense, I mean, the only touchdowns they scored with Brissett in 2.5 games were when they got turnovers and started inside the 50. So, you know, this is a welcome addition to this offense, of course. And hopefully Brady can get them going, because on the surface it all looks good. But really this offense is struggling without Gronk, without Brady. That should change against the Browns. And I'll tell you, though, Cleveland, they may be winless, but they're one of the most exciting winless teams to watch with Terrell Pryor, how much he does. So maybe it'll be an interesting game.
Luke is inside a football stadium for a 12:30 start. How many people are there so far?
Right now, excluding the teams, I could count the people on two hands.
Okay. If I told them that the Minnesota Vikings would be one of the best teams in football on September 1st, would they all drop their jaws like my jaws have been dropped?
I would think so. I mean, even on the bus this weekend with the Stetson football team, they like to talk football, and it's funny to hear when people talk about the Vikings that maybe haven't watched them or followed them. One of the players on the bus said the Vikings are going to go on a 5-game losing streak now because they just can't keep this up. And, you know, I kind of just laugh at myself. Now, maybe we're not going to stay undefeated, of course, but, you know, what they're doing now I don't think is any sort of fluke. Maybe they're overachieving a bit, but they're still an excellent team, and in my opinion, one of the best in the NFC.
Yeah. Look, Sam Bradford stabilized this, you know? I mean, obviously the defense has been what's gotten the headlines, but Bradford's really stabilized things for you guys, especially after Teddy got hurt and after AP got hurt. It's really been thanks to the hard work of Sam Bradford and veteran leadership.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been excellent. And, you know, I hated that trade at first, like the first 24 hours, but then I did come around quickly after watching some highlights of him and reading up on him and looking at the numbers and everything. And I really like that addition. And he's perfect for this team and all the pieces that they have. He doesn't have to do too much. And with that said, a lot of credit goes to Mike Zimmer as well, who I love and I think is one of the best coaches in the league. I mean, in two of his 3 years now, he's had to deal with no Adrian Peterson for essentially the full season in each of the two seasons. And he's lost his starting quarterback in two of his 3 years. And yet he has compiled, I think, a 24-18 record in these 3 years in his first time as a head coach, and has built one of the best defenses. So he's excellent when you know, the chips may be stacked against the team, and for all the injuries that they've lost or have suffered, they've lost two more starters for this week against the Texans. He's still keeping them together, but this will be a tough matchup. The Texans are a good team. They just need some more consistent play from Osweiler.
You know, I mean, he's a new quarterback in a new spot. I mean, this is a battle of quarterbacks in new spots. For me, Luke, you've been high on Mike Zimmer from day one, and I really think that he's shown his great leadership. So many had great promise for him as a coach, and I think it's finally being shown.
Yeah, there's a great story written this past week about the teams that missed the opportunity. I mean, he interviewed with something like 10 teams for head coaching jobs and never got hired. He was an assistant for 35 years, and I'm glad his opportunity as a head coach came with the Vikings, because he has served them well. So hopefully they can keep it going Sunday against Houston and moving forward into the season.
What's your biggest concern with the Vikings right now? What, you know, looking forward, what concerns you most?
I think the offensive line. We just lost another offensive line starter for this week. There's word that he may have to go on the IR. That's Andre Smith, one of our tackles. So, I mean, we're already down. If you go back and look at the projected depth chart for the offensive line heading into training camp, I think we're down the top. I think we're down the entire starting lineup almost. I mean, we're on to options 7, 8, and 9 here at the offensive line, and we need to protect a guy like Bradford, who's prone to injuries.
Luke, you would like someday to be a father, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And what happens when your child misbehaves? You kind of have to sit them down and explain why their behavior has been incorrect, right?
I would think so.
Is this what the Giants need to do with Odell Beckham? This has gotten bizarre. This has gotten ridiculous. This has gotten, I mean, we've had radio arguments over this on talk radio here. It's really something to behold that the Giants cannot seem to get Odell Beckham just to play football and then go home.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. The amount of attention it has gotten is ridiculous, but the whole situation is silly. I mean, he just needs to go out and play football. And, you know, for the offensive coordinator this past week now to say that teams need to man up and play him one-on-one is one of the dumbest things this whole debate and issue, because that's just smart football to take a team's best player out of the game. And Beckham needs to be able to handle that. He's got to keep his emotions in check, because he's just he's causing more problems for his team than anything else right now. And he needs to be more of a team player. He's not getting the football, so what? All right, help your team win. Be a decoy. Take the defenders away to open up the other guys so they can get the football. Do what you're supposed to do and stop worrying about personal stats. I'm sick of hearing about him, and I'm sick of seeing his antics, especially last week against the Vikings first game in that Monday night game when they shut him down.
Did he rise too fast too soon for his own good?
Yeah, you know, that could definitely be it. I heard that from somebody, former player, I think, that said that happens with rookie players, especially receivers, where you have a big year and then all of a sudden you're all over the place, you know, on the cover of Madden and all over ESPN and everything. And you know, receivers have great years. A lot of receivers have a single great year throughout their careers, but it's about sustaining it. And he has to be able to do that. And maybe that's what it is, because just his attitude right now, from the outside at least, just seems awful.
And finally, we have Dallas and Cincinnati. Has Dak Prescott done enough to make this a quarterback controversy when Tony comes back?
I think so. I think the large part because of there's just a question mark on Romo with his age at this point, his injury history. Now, if you want him to come back after missing all this time, you don't really know what you're going to get from him. I don't think he's the same Tony Romo as, you know, a couple years ago. And for Prescott, the huge thing is he just looks so comfortable as a rookie taking care of that football. But to me, while he's not losing games, he's also not winning many games to them. He doesn't go out and make the huge plays, put the offense on his back. He's got all the weapons around him. So, you know, I think that's the difference between he and Romo, where Romo can put that offense on his back if need be. Prescott has yet to show him that ability.
Dallas right now 3-1 and second in the division behind the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Luke, we have to move to the end of our radio program. What is your game of the day?
My game of the day, I'll say the Packers-Giants on Sunday Night Football. I'm hoping the Giants can keep it close.
Will you be watching that or the presidential debate?
Oh, I'll be flipping back and forth.
Okay. My game of the day is also the Packers and the Giants, but I will not be watching that game. Sorry, Al and Chris. What is your sleeper game of the day?
Sleeper game. I'm going to say Lions-Eagles. I think the Eagles may be in for an upset.
Buffalo-Los Angeles. I believe this could be the game Rex Ryan gets fired. I was so off on that last week. I was crazily off. No. Look, Los Angeles is a very legitimate team. Los Angeles right now, people are losing sight of it. They are tied for the division lead at 3-1 with Seattle, and they hold a tiebreaker. They're in first, the Los Angeles Rams with Case Keenum.
Yeah, I think it was just because of that embarrassment on national TV week one, and then no one's seen them since, but they have turned it around.
Yeah, they really have. The Survivor game, and I said this earlier before, it's got to be Brady versus the Browns, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't not go that way.
What's your game to watch golf during?
I guess the Patriots and the Browns as well, although that does have some intrigue with Brady returning, but I won't be paying much attention.
Chicago-Indianapolis. That offensive line for the Colts is just so bad. I cannot watch this team.
Yeah, for both of them.
I think that's it. What is your player to watch today?
I gotta continue to go chalk. I gotta say Brady and his grand return. See how well he does.
I agree. Final thing, Luke. The United States won the Ryder Cup last week. They got the cup back. They won it. One of the biggest margins ever, 17-11. How much did you watch?
I watched zero of it, but I did see the presentation of the trophy at the Vikings game Monday night. So that was cool.
Wasn't that a great moment?
It sure was.
Luke, thank you, sir. And enjoy
My
your
pleasure,
football
always.
Sunday and Monday and all those days, everybody.